Thank you. The recording's ready.
Thank you. Glenn, may I ask you to do the roll call?
Yes, certainly, Marilyn. We have on the line yourself, Acting Chair, Neil Blair, Commercial and Business DC, Ray Fassett, Registry Constituency, Alistair Dixon, DC, Liz Williams, Staff, Tim Ruiz, Registrar, Patrick Jones, Staff, Avery Doria, Nominating Committee, and Mike Rodenbach, DC.
Thank you. And then would you go on, please, to just cover quickly who's not on the call besides our chair who sends his regrets?
We have not on the call, the people who are absent are Bilal Biraim, Business Constituency, Sophia Beckley, who asked me some time ago to make her apologies for calls she could not be on because she's in Ethiopia at the moment. Dan Daggerty, IPC, Greg Shatton, who can't be on the call either, who sends his apologies. Lucilia King, Tamara Resnick, Mawaki Chango, Victoria McEvedy, Jonathan Nevitt, who is registrar, Seth Jacoby, registrar, Tim Ruiz, registrar, Edmund Chung, registry, Caroline Greer, registry. We've got Ray Fassett on the line. Chuck is absent. Michael Palage, registry. Minjung Park, who is the CCNSO liaison. Dr. Kung Chung Liu, who is from Taiwan, who is a member of the GAC. And that is it for the participants.
Great, thank you. We are going to start with a quick review of the agenda. You know the meeting is being recorded and transcribed. Please identify yourself when you speak so the transcribers can attribute comments and try to use the handset when you talk. And I will start doing that myself. I just want to open this for suggested changes to the agenda.
Marilyn, sorry, I don't have the agenda in front of me. It's Mike Rodenbaum. I'd forgotten that you were chairing. I sent Chuck a note asking that the IANA names be up front if they're not already. They usually are, and it should be very short, but I only have about 20 minutes today.
Sure, they are. You're first, but thank you for mentioning it. Okay. If you have questions or comments about the use of the revised template, if you're experiencing problems about it, I'm going to ask you to post to Liz, Patrick, and Chuck on that, and we won't spend time on trying to resolve those or troubleshoot those on this call. If anyone has an update to their interest statement, they should also post that to the full reserve name working group list. Are there any other changes to the agenda? Hearing none, we're going to start with the report. I did ask people to please use and I'll just remind everyone that the final subgroup reports are due the 8th of May. So time is quickly passing here, and I know we're all urgently working. I've seen a huge flurry of reports coming in. So we'll hear from the chairs and their members on how the subgroup work is doing. I'm going to ask you to try to answer the questions in six in your report from your group, and you know, if you forget a few of those things, we'll come back and just ask clarifying questions. So the order we're going to follow, just so people are prepared, we're going to have Mike report on ICANN IANA names first. Then Patrick is going to report for the single and two-character reserve names in Greg's absence. Greg may be able to dial in later, but would only be able to listen due to being at an airport. If Mike Palage doesn't join us for geographic and geopolitical, we'll address getting a substitute or dealing with that when we get to it. We'll deal with, then we'll have either third or fourth, Bray, your report on the GTLD names at the second level. Then we'll hear from Avery on controversial names. Then we'll move to the tag names report, the Nick who is www, and then go into discussing the rest of the agenda. So I'm going to turn, if I may, Mike, to you.
Sure, very brief report. We just need to essentially send the questions out to IANA and ICANN and the various organizations. I had basically a miscommunication with Chuck and Liz on that a couple weeks ago and overlooked an email back asking me to do a bit more. So I've done that this morning. And if anybody has comments, please forward them along shortly. Otherwise, we're just going to send out these very basic questions.
And would you just quickly, for those of us who are struggling with keeping up, can you just briefly touch on the kinds of questions you're asking them?
Sure. In fact, there's actually only one. So I just lay out the background and say that the working group so far stated that the role of reserve names held by IANA and I has been to maintain for those organizations the exclusive rights to the names of ICANN, its bodies, or essential functions of the two organizations. Do you believe the names on the attached table, which correspond or relate to your organization, should continue to be reserved at all levels in all current and future GTLDs? If yes, please state the reasons why you believe such rights should be reserved in all GTLDs and describe how you have used or may intend to use these domains in the GTLDs and in any other TLDs to date. If no, please state which name reservations need not continue, or if you believe the reservation should be modified, then please state this. Finally, please provide the name of the person completing the questionnaire and any additional comments or questions that you may have for the working group.
Excuse me. I have a question, and someone needs to spot me on this. I thought there was a reference to IANA in an RFC. Am I mistaken about that?
I don't think so, I would assume Tim Denton would have mentioned it in the earlier report.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you're sending it out. Can I just ask the turnaround? That's one of the questions I think you may have put that in there and I missed it.
No, we have not set a date. I guess that obviously makes sense to ask for it as soon as possible, but you know, we're not planning on putting a deadline on this. We weren't really expecting that we would get complete answers from all those organizations within the time of this working group.
Hey, Marilyn, this is Ray. Can I ask a question?
You sure can. Let me just ask Mike to clarify. All those organizations, I'm sorry, I am confused. Who's this going to?
At least Liz, Chuck, and I, at one point decided that we were going to send it to each of the organizations, to the ASO, to the GNSO, et cetera.
I see. Thank you for that clarification. So to each of the organizations, meaning the supporting organizations.
Right, the ones that have corresponding domains on the reserve list. LACNIC, IETF,
okay.
AAB,
thanks. Right, Ray?
Yes, Mike, can you just read the first sentence in your letter?
About what the working group has stated thus far. I actually skipped the background part.
I mean, in the questionnaire that you're sending out, the very first sentence you read.
I think I said that the working group has stated thus far that the role of the reserve names held by IANA and ICANN has been to maintain for those orgs the exclusive rights to the names of those orgs or their essential related functions, for example, InterNIC.
Okay, that's the sentence.
And that's directly from the earlier working group report.
Okay, it just seems a little leading, but that's okay.
It's actually a factual statement, isn't it?
Okay, all right. That's what I was asking.
Yeah. So you have a draft ready to go. Your plan, based on, so we're having a discussion about it, and then your plan is to send it to these organizations. I would just say, I do think you ought to set a target date.
Yes, certainly. What would you think would be reasonable?
Well, you might also tell them that we're going to conclude our report.
That's a good approach. I agree. Okay. And what was the deadline for us completing this again?
It's Tuesday.
The 8th.
The 8th. Okay.
Yeah. And.
But obviously this was always intended to go on further. You know, we were basically just going to continue the work during this 30 days, and this just may be something that the council deals with on its own later.
Okay, can I ask you, so setting the letter aside, could you go to the report then and just briefly update us on, this deals with the justification. Can you walk us through the what your view is of the recommendations that go with it? And put in your report, right?
I don't have the current draft report in front of me. I do have the recommendations from the earlier report that we did.
Okay.
Yeah, I have the earlier working group report in front of me. So, yeah, here's the recommendations. So our recommendations in the first part were more work is recommended, and I think that's probably going to be changed to something along the lines that the organizations to which these name reservations correspond have been requested to provide the basis for that information and their recommendation whether or not the reservation should continue, and those responses are still forthcoming.
And then would you say, based on those responses, a recommendation needs to be developed?
I think that's right.
Okay. Then you've got IDN at the top level, and you had a recommendation for that.
We weren't going to look at IDNs again.
Okay.
This one, I believe. I think it'll just kind of roll into the general rules between IDNs and ASCII. And I'm not real up to speed on it. I know Patrick was going to send around information on that, and I just haven't read it yet.
Okay. And then second-level ASCII, originally it was more work?
It's exactly the same.
And okay. And then you describe, are you guys providing a description of what the more work is going to be?
More work will be to collect the responses from the organizations.
Well, I see the same as the recommendation under top level ASCII.
Right.
Mike, is that what you meant?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And then, so we discussed IDNs, and can I ask others if you have other questions for Mike?
Yes.
Mike, I don't see a reference to the GAC principles. Are you planning on adding that? Or did your group consider that?
We have not. I don't believe there are any GAC principles relevant to this.
Okay, you might want to include that you reviewed the principles and did not find relevant principles. And then on the IDN working group recommendations, have they been referenced and addressed as applicable? And I think what you were suggesting is that Patrick has done some work, but you haven't had a chance to review it yet.
Correct.
Okay. And then going back to our suggestion outlined from the chair, what's your view on, tell us when you think, how far along you're going to be, or whether you think your report is relatively close to being done, given that you don't know whether or not you're going to get a response from any of these folks by next
week. Clearly we won't have responses by next week. Frankly, we weren't intending to have them within this time frame. We just knew it was not going to happen. It was not realistic.
Uh-huh. So your recommendation to the council is going to be more work is needed.
Correct.
And I think we're looking for the subgroups to provide as much recommendation as possible on how to guide that work if they feel they're able to do that.
Right. I think we discussed that. Collect the responses, come up with a recommendation.
Right. But what's your recommendation for how the recommendation would be developed? Do it at the council, or because the subgroups are
or through reconvening the subgroup.
Okay. Would you guys give some thought to, you know, what your recommendation is going to be on that?
Sure. Is Edmund on the call?
I haven't seen him appear.
No problem.
Okay. And are you expecting minority statements?
I welcome them. I'm not sure that there's really much debatable about any of this, but
Others on, there's the subgroup minority statement. There's also the opportunity for others from the the full working group to submit minority statements. Anyone on the call think that they might submit a minority statement?
Marilyn, this is Tim with GoDaddy.
Uh-huh. Hi, Tim.
You know, a question about that. I mean, if, let's say, for example, and I don't think this will be the case in regards to Iannamines, I don't believe, and I'm not referring to that specifically, but just in general, if a working group of three or four or five people, you know, make a recommendation, even if they agree, why, if there's a large number of the other participants in the working group who don't, why would their opinions be considered minority?
This is Robert. Can I comment on that?
That's a, yeah.
I actually thought that when we did majority-minority, if such words can be used, or supported, less support, and additional comments, that it was more related to the whole working group and not so much the subgroup. So, of course, the subgroup people being in the larger group, they could fall into either category. But I tended to think that those statements, when they made the full report, were, you know, not that they just basically start in the subgroup. Hopefully the subgroup could come to consensus, but if they don't, then there's, you know, other opinions. But I think that the group, for example, if there was a minority and a majority in a subgroup, but in the overall group it was reversed, I think the report would have to reflect the reverse.
I think that's for the final report, but as Chuck had architected this, and we have up to now, had, for instance, Aubrey, I noticed on this, you did have a statement, and you know maybe it's better to, it's called a minority statement, I think. You did have a statement, and so did Mike Lodge. The question on the final report, I think, is going to be when we go through reviewing everything, what's the broader group's recommendation? And so I think we could find that a subgroup has a recommendation and the broader group is not in support of it. That's just the nature of working in subgroups.
Okay, this is Tim. Thanks. I just wanted to make sure that to clarify that.
Right. And the date for the minority statements from working group members who are not in the subgroup is the 9th of May, which is just the day before. And everyone's responsible for writing their own statement. It's not going to be edited, right?
And, yeah, I just wanted to mention that in terms of the statement that I had last time,
mm-hmm.
I think the fact that you're going out and asking each of these groups, you know, what they want to do about it kind of probably handles most of my question, because my question had to do with, well, what if IETF wants to use the name? Why should it be reserved? So that wouldn't handle Mike's question at all.
Right. Okay, let me just make sure that I've covered the list of questions.
Wait, Aubrey, would you say that your question is covered in my question or not?
I
Because I did ask that at all levels. Now, we could break it out for clarity and have two separate questions, top and second level. Maybe that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it is subsumed in at all levels, but if you broke it out and made it clearer, that wouldn't hurt. But I wasn't objecting. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Any other comments from Mike? Hearing none. I think we're going to move to the next report, and I see Greg, you've joined us, and welcome, and you're just...
I'm now standing in the lost baggage line at LaGuardia.
Oh, wow.
You're just in time. We're sorry to hear that. We hope you find your clothes and your food. And we're going to move to Patrick and ask him to do the report for that subgroup.
Okay. Well, what I should probably start with is the recommendations table that was sent to the full working group list yesterday. And it's titled single and two character, it says one and two characters, SG rec chart version 2. And if everybody has that, we start with our first recommendation is on symbols. And this really didn't change from the original working group report that was published before Lisbon. It's we recommend that current practice be maintained so that no symbols other than the hyphen be considered for use at any level unless technology at some time permits the use of symbols.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. The next one is single and two-character IDNs. This is for IDNA valid strings at all levels. So top level, second level, if applicable, third level. Previously, our recommendation was further work, and I think a lot of work has been done in this extension period. So the recommendation right now reads single and two-character view labels on the top level and second level of a domain name should not be restricted in general. At the top level, requested strings should be analyzed on a case-by-case basis depending on the script and language used in order to determine whether the string should be granted for application in the DNS. And there's an asterisk, and it refers back to the complete subgroup report section on this. Checkman asked a question about that earlier today, so I just wanted to let everyone know that's what the asterisk is there for. Our next recommendation is single letters at the top level. This is a draft recommendation that the subgroup is still considering. I think there may be some edits in the language, but right now what is in this version is we recommend continued reservation of single letters at the top level until completion of a technical test. Based on the outcome of the technical test, discussion of methods of allocation can be considered. Examples include .a, .z. The next one is single letters and digits at the second level. This recommendation is release contingent upon the development of a suitable allocation framework. Examples include a.com, i.info. This recommendation is unchanged from the version in the March 19th report. Next recommendation is single and two digits at the top level. The subgroup had a call with two technical experts early last week, I think.
It was on the 23rd.
The 23rd is 27th, I think.
So anyway.
So we had some detailed discussion with technical experts, and as a result of that, our recommendation is we recommend continuation of the reserve status for digits at the top level. And examples include .3 and .99. The next recommendation is single letter, single digit combinations at the top level. I think that this recommendation is unchanged from the March 19th report. It says applications may be considered for single letter. Oh, wait, this is a new category. Applications may be considered for single letter, single digit combinations at the top level in accordance with the terms set forth in the new GTLD process. Examples include .3F, .A1, .U7. And we have recommendation on two letters at the top level. This recommendation is unchanged. We recommend the current practice of allowing two letter names at the top level only for CCTLDs remain at this time. Examples include .au, .de, .uk. Finally, this category is any combination of two letters, two digits at the second level. Registries may propose relief provided that measures to avoid confusion with any corresponding country codes are implemented. Examples include ba.arrow, ub.cat, 53.com, 3m.com, e8.org. This recommendation is also unchanged from the March 19th report.
Patrick, what are those asterisks? Are they the same as above?
The asterisk refers to the full subgroup report, and that's a carryover from the original report that was released before Lisbon. It means that there is more to the recommendation, and it's completely inserted into the full subgroup report.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks.
And, okay, so quick questions for Patrick about this before we go into my review of the for Greg and for Patrick on the.
But that's just the recommendations. That's not on the report itself. I know we discussed the report on the last call, and in the last call, we had not at the time added in anything on definition of character, on single and two-character IDNs that are now in there now. We've done a lot of work on digits at the top level, as well as digit letter combinations and single letters at the top and at the second level. So we've actually done a lot of work in the last couple weeks.
And Patrick, I'm just going to quickly go through these, and because I know that there have been some changes. The group has one more working session next Monday. Is that right?
That's correct.
Right. So let me see if we can try to clarify. Expert consultation was initiated, and we should just update on the fact that we have sent the four categories that were discussed with two technical experts. So that is the draft recommendations related to what was discussed with them have been sent to the two technical experts with a request that they confirm their views of the recommendation and provide any other comments that they wish to. And that we ask for them to give us a quick turnaround. I will just note that we need to go back to them and include now the changes that have been made to a couple of the recommendations. We'll have their responses back in time to meet the deadline on the 8th. We have referenced the GAC principles in some cases, but not all. So I'm wondering what the views are of you or Greg and others who've been drafting on this, on whether there are other places in this set of recommendations where the GAC principles need to be referenced.
Well, I think I've gone through and referenced the GAC principles in, let's see, we didn't do it for symbols, but I'm not sure it really applies there. We've done it for IDNs.
Mm-hmm.
We've done it for, I'm just scrolling as we talk, I believe that we've done it for single letters. Well, no, I don't see it there on single letters at the top level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think what we've done is probably referenced it across the board, and maybe what we'll do is we could break it down by recommendation. And it's really, maybe I'll take the pulse of the full working group to see what people think.
I think it's probably good to for each of the subgroups to review the GAC principles and make sure that they've referenced them as applicable in, and then get back to you. I think it's a broad question. On the IDN working group recommendations, we have addressed those, right?
Yes.
And then we've included examples as much as possible. I heard several examples.
I think we've included examples for every category.
Great. And then can we just talk a little bit about, Greg, are you still with us?
I am.
Okay. Can we just talk a little bit about the areas where we are close to getting rough consensus and any areas where we think we have still areas of disagreement we need to address? Patrick, do you want to try that since Greg is standing in a public line?
Well, you had sent around updates to recommendation 6 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
Recommendation 6 is single letter, single digit combinations at the top level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mike provided some edits. Alistair may have provided some edits. And I think we're pretty close on that one.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is recommendation 7, two letters at the top level. I think we're already, that one is done. And recommendation 8, combination of two letters and digits at the second level is done.
Let me just say that I saw a suggested change on from, I'm not sure who, that suggested that ordering of confusing one and L and zero and capital O, that ordering doesn't matter in user confusion. I'm not sure that's a factual characterization, but maybe we can take that up within the group and try to get a better understanding on that. Then we had single letters at the top level that I think Alistair or, no, Greg provided some edits to.
Yes.
And we have not had a chance to discuss that in the subgroup. So I'm assuming we're pretty close to...
And Marilyn, I've also provided edits to single letters at the second level, which the group has yet to discuss.
Okay. Can you... I didn't see those, Alistair. Can you quickly tell us what those are? Are they substantive? Are they major or...
There is actually some overlap between what Greg has sent in relation to single letters at the top level and what I have sent in relation to single letters at the second level. Basically, the experts pointed out that there are some problems with some resolvers that would mean that single letters at the second level in single letter top level domains should continue to be reserved. And so that's the full recommendation at the moment. So that would mean that basically if you are going to have dot A at the top level, you can't have dot A or dot B in that domain at the second level.
Okay.
So you can't have dot A, dot A, dot A, dot B, et cetera.
Okay.
Alistair, is that something that would be resolved through the technical test?
I think, Mike, it is something that could be tested in the technical test. Yes.
Sure, no. Great.
Okay, so it sounds like the group is finalizing those areas, and there seem to be many areas of rough consensus. There may be a few minority statements, but it's not sounding like they're going to be a major number. Can I just ask, if anyone from the group wants to comment, I'm going to ask the larger group about minority statements. Does anyone on the larger group expect to have minority statements on the two character report? I don't hear anything. Have you guys had, the rest of you, have you had a chance to read the report? It's pretty detailed and quite educational, and I know you may not, many people may be thinking, okay, now I'm going to read it, now that it's almost final. But can I just ask, have the rest of you had a chance to read it? Sounds like not. Then I'm going to suggest, if you can, to when you read it, can you post back to the full list if you do think you're going to have a minority statement, so the group will be aware of that. And if you know what the category is going to be, that'd be good to let the subgroup know as well. Is anyone opposed to the recommendations you've heard so far? Doesn't sound like it. So I'm going to take one last round of questions and then quickly move to the third report. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none. Glenn, can you just announce the time of this call on Monday? It's at 4:30 Eastern Standard Time. Is that right?
That's right, Marilyn, yes.
Okay.
So it's 10:30 in Europe, so it's 4:30, yes.
Great. I'm going to move to, I don't see Mike Blige on the call, or Caroline. Tim, we have you and Alistair. Should I assume that either one of you are prepared to report on geographic and geopolitical names? Or do you want me to hold that and come back to that later?
Marilyn, my preference would be to hold it, to come back, because Mike may have something more to report than we do.
Okay. Let's just do that then, and let me move Ray to GTL names at the second level or third level if applicable.
Marilyn, it's Mike Rodenbaugh. I just wanted to let you know I need to drop off the call now. Thanks.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you, Marilyn. This is Ray Fassett. First, I'll go ahead and read the recommendation. The GTLD reserve names category consists of GTLD strings that historically have been restricted from registration at the second and third level as a contractual condition. It's not a policy. The recommendation coming forward as of now, which is not a completed recommendation, is to modify the contractual condition for new TLDs in a manner that requires notification to ICANN rather than approval by ICANN for the release of GTLD string for registration. The simple example would be that if the .travel registry wanted to release jobs.travel, it would require the .jobs registry operator to notify ICANN of its permission for .travel to do this. In other words, it's a notification process, whereas today it is an approval process. ICANN contractually is required to approve that. Going to the questions, what expert consultation has been initiated? Primarily, this has been the ICANN GNSO constituencies that have been contacted. Technical advice was not required for this reserve names category due to a technical document released by ICANN's RSTEP that basically opinioned that TLD.TLD is not material technical stability and issue security concern. So we did, however, go to these constituencies and based on last week's call, reached out to other constituencies besides the registry constituency for feedback. Response deadlines were provided, which were basically yesterday. GAC principles are referenced in a manner that can allow the release of these, in other words, change the contractual condition, but in a manner that avoids user confusion or taking into account the potential for user confusion. For IDN, the recommendation would hold the same. This is a string, one-to-one characters string issue, not so much a translation or transliteration issue. So if a new IDN top-level domain should go into the root, it would apply. This recommendation could apply to it exactly as it does for ASCII TLDs. I read to you the summary of the recommendation. How close is the subgroup membership in reaching consensus? I'd say we're 75% plus to getting there, where the subgroup will have another call between now and the time of our next call to discuss some of the issues that have arisen. Much of what's been communicated up to now is more me than the two subgroup members. And I think that's the basis of my report up to now.
May I have a couple of questions, and I'm going to turn to others.
Sure.
You said that you undertook outreach to the other constituencies and mm-hmm. gave them a deadline. How did you do that?
I sent a note to Liz Williams requesting her to send a question out to each of the constituency representatives, and I believe that went out because I was CC'd on it. And besides that, constituency members did respond. There was not response from the business constituency, the ISP constituency, nor the non-commercial users constituency.
I'm just going to put my BC hat on for a minute and mm-hmm. say, I may have missed it being posted to the BC list. I didn't see it, but I can follow up with Philip or and Alistair. You may be familiar with how it was handled at the BC.
Sure, and additional feedback is certainly welcome.
So maybe we can just flag that because, and you know, Alistair and I can talk offline about that. On the ISPs, you know, maybe Mark McFadden, Secretariat, might be reminded. Because the thing I just noticed, Ray, is the three of the user-oriented constituencies didn't respond, and it just might be helpful to
give them one more round, you know?
Yes, I agree with that. And I think the subgroup is probably, and this is something we will discuss, should additional feedback not come back, that the issue is not of material concern to them, should there be not a response.
Yeah, I have some other questions for you, though, but I want to, I don't quite understand. This kind of looks to me like the registries, for instance, the category says GPLD reserve names.
Correct.
What that sounds like to me is names that GPLD registries have decided to reserve, as opposed to the actual similar string at a different level to the string that is being used as the top-level domain. You see what I mean? I think you're talking about the specific registration of the top-level string at a different level, are you not? And you're not talking about just a number of names that a registry may have on reserve?
Yeah, I'm deciphering what you're saying as you're talking, and yes, I believe that is correct. The point being that, you know, across zones, a GTLD string that exists, for example, at a list that's online, if it's on that list, it is not to cross into another zone.
Okay. I'm just going to point out that the name of the category isn't clear,
okay,
and the recommendation isn't clear. I'm not disagreeing with what you, at this point, I'm not challenging what you recommended,
right,
but, for instance, to modify the contractual condition for new GPLDs in a manner that requires notification to ICANN for the release of an existing GPLD string for registration at a different zone or at a different level.
You write that in there.
And then, secondly, the category GPLD reserve names makes it sound like it could be 500 names or 100 names or 5,000. It sounds like it's one name.
Marilyn, this is Patrick. Let me try to explain. I think in the definition we can clean it up,
yeah,
so that it is clear that this category is only for GTLD string names appearing at other levels.
Good, that's all I'm suggesting.
And if we make it that is the definition, then we don't have to spend any time throughout the rest of the report on other names that may be owned by a registry. Because
mm-hmm.
This report really is only about TLD.TLD.
Sure, and I think that's important. I'll just note, Patrick, for purposes of the record, that actually no names are owned by registries, but I think you probably meant reserved by registries, right?
Well, we can argue about whether that's accurate or not, but I understand.
So, Marilyn, just so I'm clear, you're focusing on the definition. The definition was ambiguous to you. And I think that's a good point.
Yeah, I'm just saying, reading it, I know what you mean.
Right.
But I'm not sure someone not close to this would know what you mean.
Great. I think that's excellent input. Thanks.
Does anyone else have comments? And is this, Tim, did you have comments to make on this?
Yeah, actually, I've made a number of them on the list. but I guess really right now what I have more is a question. That kind of seems to have come up, you know, as a result of this recommendation and the discussion on this, but I think might apply in other cases. And that is just what, you know, what the end result here that we're working towards. You know, I mean, this particular reserve name group is a good example because there are existing contractual conditions that apply to the existing registries. But, you know, is the PDP 05, December 05 committee looking to make policy recommendations regarding how these reserve name groups are handled going forward that would result in potential contractual conditions in new GTLDs. If that's the case, if we've got these two different scenarios, then it seems that we're only making a recommendation in regards to one and not the other. And that the recommendation could potentially be different. And, you know, so I guess that's the question. Are we recommending contractual changes? Is that our purpose? Or are we what we're doing is working to provide support for the PDP 05, December 05 committee to make policy recommendations?
You know, I'm sorry we don't have Dan on the phone, but I'm going to speculate that a policy recommendation could be there should be a contractual condition, right? But I take your point that is this consensus policy, let me see if I can try this. Is this consensus policy, big C, big P, that applies to new GTLDs while the contractual provisions would continue in the legacy TLDs? Or will the consensus policy be extended to all GTLDs?
Right, I mean, that's my question is, you know, should we even be making recommendations that affect contractual conditions in existing TLDs? I mean, we may make policy recommendations for this new process and for new GTLDs going forward, and perhaps based on that, some of these existing conditions might be re-looked at, might be reconsidered, but, you know, this particular recommendation is mentioning contractual conditions specifically. And if that's really what we should be doing, or if we should be looking at, you know, here's the existing way this Vivian group is handled, and we're recommending that perhaps policy work be done on this going forward, you know, looking at it perhaps a little bit differently. And I think it could be true of any consensus policy that's worked on within the community is that, you know, it's going to change something that already exists in some other agreement that will have to be looked at and considered. But should that affect the recommendations that we make going forward? That all of these exist in these existing agreements, so we can't make different recommendations going forward.
Yeah, this is Ray. Let me respond to that just a little bit in that this is a working group and not a, you know, what we're doing here is not a consensus policy process. While it is a branched off of a PDP in theory, but it's important to appreciate that the registry constituency, while we didn't go down this road and I didn't want to go down this road, but if there was a vote taken, you would find that the preservation of this reserve names category is likely far more in favor than not. So it's difficult, I think, to make a recommendation as a policy that if it ever was in a real, its own policy development process, likely may not succeed, or we don't know, we have to go through that process. But it is important. But
what we're doing here, Ray, I mean, this is a working group supporting a policy development process in progress.
Right.
They've asked us to look at this and make gather information and make recommendations back to them that they intend to use to recommend policy. I mean, that's my understanding.
Right, yeah, and I think that's important to clarify, Ray. This is, the working groups are a formal, they are a part of the work of a formal PDP process. So,
this is Greg, I'd like to get in the queue.
Yeah, so, you know, I just want to better understand I think we all ought to be clear on that. But then go back to the discussion of, you know, what we're recommending and what the questions are about it. Let me take Greg and then go back, then open the discussion back up. Greg?
I just wanted to briefly say that it's no surprise that the registry community would support the policy since it serves the needs of the registry community. And certainly if there was a similar policy in favor of brand owners, I'm sure there would be similar strong support from the IPC. So it's I don't think that, you know, holds weight by itself as a point.
I'm just going to make one actual statement and then open this back up. In the CCTLDs, very often the name of the country code is registered at a second level, as is, and many of the CCs have adopted as a means of structuring their TLD at the second level, the strings that are used at the top level in the GTLD space. They've done that to try to be helpful to the community of registrants in their CCTLD. I'm not opining one way or the other. I'm just sort of noting that.
Yep, and Marilyn, to your point, this is Ray. Greg, that's a little bit of an unfair characterization that it's just a completely self-serving view and et cetera. There, you know, there are some STLDs, for example, in the marketplace that do feel that their user community could become confused on some instances, such as Marilyn is inferring. There is no really, I don't think there can be a debate that opinions from the registry constituency must be taken by the subgroup as an expert opinion. So I wanted to make the point that it's not as surface level as it may seem, that it's just a self-serving view.
Ray, I'm sorry, I have a question.
I didn't mean to say it was merely self-serving. I think there are definitely good reasons, pro and con, in terms of scams and phishing and other sorts of fun and difficult things which do impact negatively the registry community. So I think it's probably an issue that really just needs to be unpacked. And I didn't mean to say that it was solely a self-serving.
No, actually, Greg,
point of view.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Greg. That's exactly correct. There is a conflicting opinion back and forth on the issue. So, you know, what we need to be able to do as a subgroup is provide a recommendation that reflects the fact that there is conflicting view on what the recommendation should be.
And this is the same. I think, too, though, that there needs to be, if we're going to make a recommendation, then there should be more. I mean, there really isn't any experts that have been queried about this except for the RSTEP report that basically said they didn't see that there was no security and stability issue. I don't think the registries, their opinion could be taken into account, but I don't think we should consider that expert opinion. And, if we're going to make a recommendation that could potentially result in a policy that says these names must be reserved, then I think there needs to be much more to back that up, some sort of empirical evidence or documented evidence or expert advice that says, here's why this should be done, not just opinion or, fears of some might say, well, this could happen when there's no evidence that it ever has.
Right. Just a minute. I want to ask a question of clarification for everyone, and then I want to come back to you. I don't think I personally, and I'm speaking both as the sit-in chair, but more broadly, I don't think that the only thing to base a recommendation on is technical confusion. So the RSTEP report may address technical issues. The registry's views should be heard. But I do think, more broadly, what we're trying to understand today is the subgroup close to reaching consensus? And then we need to hear, are there going to be minority statements from other working group members? And is the recommendation going to be supportable by the full working group, or does it need to be modified to say further work is needed? User confusion is a valid point to put forward and explain. And I'm looking at a recommendation, but I'm not looking at a written report. Is there a more detailed written report behind this that I've just missed?
There are comments that, the comments that have been received are included in the written report, including from individual registrar members such as Tim that have provided input to this question.
So your answer is yes, I ought to be able to find a few more pages to go with this table if I go back on the list.
Yes, pretty much that is correct. Now, but to Tim's point is that we have to understand that there's an existing practice in place. When we talk about evidence to state why, you know, what that there is user confusion, I've taken the approach as the chairman of this subgroup is that the evidence needs to go the other way. If we're going to change what is an existing practice, then the evidence needs to show that there is not user confusion. I don't know of a study that goes either way, to be honest with you.
I don't know, Ray. I mean, there's a number of ways of looking at this. One is that, the point you were trying to make was that there is no policy, it's a contractual condition. So if we're going to create a policy, then I think it's the other way around.
I don't think we're creating
a policy, then there needs, if we're going to make a recommendation that could result in policy work, that could result in a policy. And if a policy is going to get created, then there needs to be, you know, evidence to back up the need for the policy. But regardless of that, I mean, it's sort of like, you know, trying to prove a negative, but prove there's no harm. That, you know, that doesn't seem to be, to me, the right approach. The approach is, here's the harm that has been taking place and why we need this policy. And the fact that it's just been included in previous contracts for whatever reason, I don't think in itself holds a lot of water.
Let me just note.
Especially when we're talking, what we have to look at is what the potential for this is going forward. We look at today, we've got 13 GTLDs. So in that perspective, it's not a huge issue. But when we've got 200 GTLDs, or maybe more,
mm-hmm.
all with using, you know, some generic terms, you know, .shop, .whatever, and in each of those are restricted from being used, and each of the others, we're creating, you know, a very restrictive namespace for prospective registrants who might have very legitimate use for those GTLDs. So we've got to look at a long term and what the effect of this is going to be going forward, and the imbalance that's going to get created amongst registries, depending on where they come online and where they come into the process. I think there needs to be evidence to say, yes, here's the harm that can be done, and we need to be able to show that and document it, and not just, you know, opinions and fears of what might happen.
So it's Marilyn, and I'm going to exercise the chair's prerogative and summarize what I've heard. Actually, this subgroup doesn't seem to be close to consensus, Ray.
As of this call, I will likely pretty much disagree with that.
How many members do you have in your subgroup?
Three.
And they represent the registry and registrar constituency?
We have Edmund Chung, Patrick Jones, and myself.
So Patrick is staff, and Edmund is with which constituency?
He's with that Asia, the registry constituency.
So then let me note that this may be an example where your subgroup may be of consensus, but I'm hearing questions about it from other members of the full working group. And based on that, I think I would just suggest that it's been a helpful discussion for you to have had. I have a few other questions from the outline I want to ask you, and then I'm going to move on.
Marilyn, can I jump in and add something?
Yeah, Patrick, can I just finish?
Yes.
And turn to you if you don't mind. I unfortunately have not had a chance to look at your draft recommendation, so I have to turn to you, Ray, and ask you to reference that principle in IDN if you think that is, because I see second level, third level where applicable, IDN where applicable, in the domain name level.
When applicable.
When applicable. But what I don't see in the recommendation draft is any reference to IDN. And I don't know if there should be one or not. I'm just pointing that out. So I'm going to ask you about that. And then my other question to you is, actually, that's my primary question. Let me turn to Patrick, and then I'm going to ask the rest of the members if they want to comment on 7, such as if anyone else has suggestions for improvements,
if anyone else wants to express a concern about the recommendation, and then wrap this up and move to the next report. Patrick, can I go to you?
Sure. This is more of an observation that in the original term of the working group, this category had different members, and they couldn't come to an agreement either. And it's likely that where we're headed is that this category just needs further work. I understand, and I guess we've discussed this within the subgroup, that there are potential problems with scalability as you add new GTLDs. And that's one thing that I'm concerned about, but I know we're still discussing it. It's, the original working group subgroup couldn't agree, and I'm not sure where we are right now on this.
I think that's helpful that you actually provided the summary I was going to provide, which is it does sound like at the full working group level, it is likely to come out with needs more work and more discussion. Tim, I don't mean to put you on the spot, so I'll go first. Listening to this, I have concerns as a member of the full group about the scalability. I don't think there's been, and I take to heart the fact the business constituency has not responded, and Alistair and I can figure out how to help it to happen in a timely manner. But does anyone else want to comment on any suggestions for improvement or questions before we move on?
This is Greg. I just have one comment, which is I think that if we can identify, and it may not be within the scope or at least the time for scope of this group, if we can identify the nature of the problem, we may be able to identify a solution. For instance, it occurs to me that an RFP process for kind of cross for these types of names may be an approach to consider, or more broadly, a quote-unquote appropriate allocation process, other than first come, first serve, which could, you know, eliminate the kind of the phishing and fraud level issues that I believe are one of the concerns, but I don't know them all. So that's just a thought.
Right. This is Ray. And let me just add this comment, Marilyn, is that, you know, scope is an issue here. You know, for example, how names are allocated is a scope question.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily, though, to Patrick's point, you know, there was a reason why this work on this particular category was extended rather than a recommendation coming out. And it's really pretty apparent that we could, as a subgroup, go to the level where we have to have more time. That's an option.
Mm-hmm.
If that is what ends up as the result, then what will likely happen as part of the new TLD process is the default condition will remain, unless it's able to complete its work in time for the PDP-05. But again, that's becomes suspect now. Or there's a recommendation that could arise, as Tim is suggesting, that you just completely remove it. That's an option. And then there's the option of being able to remove it on condition, which is what it is right now. So there aren't that many options here to pick from. If the working group as a whole, reserve name working group as a whole, feels that there needs to be more work done on this, then that's okay. It's just that we're not going to be of much after all this time is spent on it, and not that we should just drive to an answer to get to an answer, but we're questioning what kind of input, substantive input, we're going to be able to provide to the PDP-05.
I'm going to offer you a more heartening vision than that, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I think you ought to think about this in terms of, you know, do you and your group think that your recommendation would be more work, and within another 30-day period, the following things need to happen so that a recommendation could be put forward. That's a more hopeful vision, I hope. You know, Greg mentioned the issue of identifying the concerns about consumer confusion or abuses such as consumer fraud or blah, blah, blah. I think those are all things that are useful to note that you need to take into account, and I would just reference you back to the GAAP principles, where I think you might actually find a principle that is more relevant to the concern. It may not be directly related, but I think it's more relevant to the concern that I thought you were raising,
as the STLDs who feel that, as you noted, that users could be confused, in particular between who is the authoritative top-level domain.
Yes, that's exactly correct. Those are the opinions coming out of the registry constituency.
That's very helpful. I'm going to move to the next report. Are you guys having another, is your group going to, you've heard a lot today. Some of us owe you feedback or noting that we're not going to get your feedback in terms of constituencies. There isn't anyone from the ISPs in the reserve name working group that I'm aware of, but Liz, maybe going back to Ms. Fadden, or actually to Tony Holmes as the chair, maybe one more time. I'll take that as a follow-up on offline. Can I turn to Avery and ask for an update from your group, the Contro group?
Yes, the controversial group. Fun being controversial because we don't have to apologize for controversy. But anyway, we've had two meetings and a bunch of online discussions. We've gotten to a point where we have several consensus points, so it should be noted that only 3 out of the 5 subgroup participants participated in the last discussion, and while in general, this is rough consensus, and there still could be wording differences, but I will read through the points where I believe that we are approaching consensus. One is there should not be a new reserve name category for controversial names. And I don't know whether we want to discuss these point by point or after, or just stop me whenever. Two, there should be a list of disputed names created as a result of a dispute process to be created by the new GTLD process. Third point, the new GTLD controversial names dispute resolution panel should be established as a standing mechanism, and I'm editing some of these as I'm writing, as a standing mechanism that is convened at the time a dispute is initiated. Preliminary elements of that process are provided in the report, but further work is needed in this area. And Marilyn provides a very good beginning to that process, and then we did have a discussion of it point by point. Within the dispute process, disputes should be initiated by the ICANN advisory committees, for example, ALAC or GAC, or supporting organizations, for example, GNSO or CCNSO, as these organizations do not currently have processes for receiving and deciding on such activities, these processes would need to be defined. It is not the prerogative of the GNSO or its subcommittees to determine the internal processes of other ICANN bodies. This remains as work that needs to be done if and when this proposal is accepted. Further work is needed to develop predictable and transparent criteria that can be used by the controversial names dispute resolution panel. These criteria must take into account the need to A, protect freedom of expression, B, affirm the fundamental human rights and the dignity and worth of human person and the equal rights of men and women, and C, take into account sensitivities regarding terms with cultural and religious significance. Those last two were listed almost verbatim from the GAC principles. And then there's a fourth one that I believe we'd have consensus on, but we didn't specifically talk about this morning, and because it was in the wrong place in the document. In any dispute resolution process, the controversial name category should be the last category considered. And that sort of follows from the definition, but it's just basically covering bases where it may be uncertain whether it's a controversial or a trademark issue, or is it a geographical or a controversial. And since the definition of controversial says it does not meet the definition criteria of any other name category, so this is just sort of a catch-all at the end that sort of says, in cases of doubt, deal with the prior categories first. Deal with it within prior categories first. And those are, and then there's a lot of discussion. We had a set of issues that were talked about, but at the moment I think that we're approaching consensus on that. And then there was a lot of discussion, which I think that I've captured in the report, though it still needs a bunch of cleaning up and clarifications and such. And I forget what the specific questions I'm supposed to answer are. We didn't consult with any experts at this point. We didn't ask for extra consultation with the GAC, though we did take a lot from the regular open GAC consultation that was had, and certainly welcome, you know, follow-up discussions, however that would happen. Guess I'll stop. The assumption was, sorry, that these concerns would apply equally to LDHs and IDNs.
Thanks, Avery. I'm just going to, and at this point it sounds like you're not expecting minority statements from your group.
Well, I don't know. As I say, we've had 3 out of 5, so if the other two come and look at it and said, from the 3 people that we had talking, you know, you were one of them, I think we're reaching consensus, but since this was written up after the last meeting and the people haven't had a chance to read and review, and also noticing that I did it quickly in a half hour, I will probably get another revision just to clean up out, you know, this evening.
So. Okay. Can I just turn to the rest of the group and ask if any of you have questions for Aubrey or comments, or if from what you've heard you anticipate having a minority statement? Go ahead.
This is Ray. How could there not be any questions on the controversial names category and all the questioning going on in the GTLD names category?
Yeah, so Ray, I think we're going to switch the names of the group.
Yeah.
but as soon as we call this one non-controversial, there'll be controversy.
Well, I'm going to ask a question.
Sure, please.
Okay. A label that is applied for would be considered controversial at the public comment phase of the new GTLD application process. The label becomes disputed by a formal notice of a consensus position from an ICANN advisory committee or ICANN supporting organization. Isn't that giving a sort of a veto power to an ICANN supporting organization?
I guess that's one way. It's looking at it, and this is one of the things that's discussed in the report, it's looking at it, and there certainly has been a lot of discussion on how things get in and how things get in scalable. One can presume that on any of a broad range of words that someone will find it controversial somewhere in the world.
That's right.
And so therefore, and trying to also look at this from the perspective of how do we come up with a scalable process. And that basically sort of says there needs to be some sort of front-end filtering for it. Now, it was basically said advisory committee and or supporting organization. Basically come up with a process where they act as the legitimization or the filter. So, yes, one can sort of say that if I am filtered out, I am vetoed. But I don't want to get into sort of the gaming that one can get into with shopping a name that, gee, if I have a name and I think that it's controversial, but I don't think that the supporting organization would think so, but I think I could talk the GAC into thinking so, then basically I bring my dispute to them. And so there's a lot to be thought about in terms of how one structures these first-level disputes. But basically, the effort is to basically, first of all, that was the decision that was sort of made by, you know, RN working group instantiation 1, and we didn't change that. And basically trying to use that as a scalability factor, trying to have someone who is responsible within the ICANN context to basically take responsibility for carrying a dispute on. Now, we had some other suggestions that have come through. For example, you know, a notion of any organization or individual in the world can dispute something, but it got paid big bucks to do so. Or, you know, they got to pay half of the fee. So there have been other discussions, none of which have been actually sort of bought into in any sort of consensus way, that how do we make it possible for anyone to dispute, but also not saddle the process with immense scalability issues.
Well, this is Ray again. I kind of drive to the definition. It seems like a really broad definition of controversial name. Any name that doesn't fall into any other category. I think, did the group discuss at all how to sharpen that definition?
We did, but that's a problem, too. In other words, and it comes down to what I've been calling very loosely sort of the Heisenberg principle of controversy. That as soon as we start to say, well, for example, you might consider certain kinds or certain categories, or here's an example of a name, and as soon as we start to sharpen it and look at it too closely, we start to actually feed the disputed name list.
Yeah, I'm thinking that maybe the burden of what is controversial needs to be on the party that feels they're potentially will be harmed. So
in other words, explaining why this would harm you.
Yeah.
This is Tim Lee. I don't think the definition, because I was involved in the first iteration of it, but I don't think that the definition was meant to define what a controversial name is, but only names that could be disputed as controversial. So in other words, if it's already part of another reserve name group, something else covers it. But that was the intent. So, you know, if some other process or some other, you know, reserve name group covers it, then, you know, it can't become controversial through a dispute. But if it's not covered any other way, then a controversial dispute could be filed against it.
No, but I see what his point is. And I don't know whether that, for example, only a name that can cause you harm. Although even something at that high a level can't almost, I mean, a clever writer spin anything to look, I mean, to make that kind of statement, and then it's up to the adjudicating, the filtering, or the dispute resolution people to see whether that is indeed the case. But I don't know.
Guys, I'm wondering if anyone else on the group who wants to join this conversation, because we need to note that we've had this question from Ray, and
I'll certainly look into seeing if I can wordsmith something. And if Ray, if you can think of any way to sort of provide a sort of focusing definition that doesn't create controversial names by its very existence, I'd be really appreciative.
It almost seems that a controversial name would not go into the new controversial names reserve list until it is found by some party to be controversial.
Yes, and that's within this, that you get into the disputed list by the dispute resolution board saying, yep, this one is controversial and we recommend or, you know, not giving it.
Okay, so technically then it's not controversial.
Until they say it is.
Right. So even at the dispute point in time, it's not yet controversial.
Right. It's only called controversial, but it still needs to be adjudicated by this dispute panel. And actually first needs to find somebody within the ICANN AC or SO structure who's willing to take up the banner and say, yeah, to us folks in GAC or to us folks in, you know, ALAC or, you know, the business community within SO, within GNSO, we say, yes, this is controversial in our opinion, and explains why.
Right. And there has to be consensus demonstrated to that fact. So it's not an individual within one of those groups.
Right. And one place where we sort of backed off a little bit. We had said originally that it has to be a consensus decision of that organization. Now, that is actually presupposing a little bit too much on how those other groups make their decisions. So we're basically focusing off and saying it has to be a formal process within those groups that is, you know, and they have to come up with that. a transparent and just, et cetera, process, and not us saying, hey, GAC, you must do this consensus-based. They may decide that, some other basis is an appropriate way to do a formal decision on this.
Yeah, and I do kind of subscribe that there needs to be some barrier for this dispute process, because in theory, any word can be controversial to somebody for whatever reason, not necessarily offensive, if you will, but just controversial for some entirely different reason that might have to do with their own business or something like that. So it just seems there's not enough of a threshold, and just thinking out loud and et cetera, there's not enough of a threshold to make the dispute, to put the dispute forward. And when does the ICANN staff or whoever, when do they decide, whoops, we got to kick this out of the queue and hold it?
When somebody initiates a dispute.
Yeah, that to me, there's an issue. That to me is a problem. That takes away now certainty for the applicant.
It's Marilyn. I'm going to end the debate because I mentioned to you guys that I don't want to have long debates on the call because we've got so much work to do. Ray, you've identified a problem that is a very valid one. It's actually noted in the work that the subgroup did, including the need to have transparent criteria, blah, blah, blah. But I think maybe...
I'd be happy to carry on the conversation with you in email and see if we can't come to some wording, to something that helps make you more comfortable with.
Yeah, and actually I'm not debating it as much. I'm just trying to understand it.
Yep.
I'm not debating it at all. And I think in my view I hit on what my issue is, which is when does the application get kicked out?
Right.
That to me drives to the issue.
It's a slow path when one of the ACs or SOs initiates the dispute.
And let me just note that we are calling for more work on this. So I want to reinforce that message.
Well, these are hard questions that we're giving to you.
Okay.
And it's not completely kicked out, right, Aubrey? I mean,
it's found
not to be controversial, then it doesn't have to be reapplied for. It's right back.
Right. Once the AC or the SO initiates a dispute, it goes into slow path.
And I would just say to people, read the work that's been done. It's too late, but read it. And Aubrey, I'm sure you'd welcome posts from other members of the full board.
Oh, yeah, please. And I'm willing to carry on, one-to-one conversations or, we can get on the phone or whatever. I'll be gone all weekend, but, other than that.
Okay. So
normally I work on weekends. Just this weekend I'm not.
We're now going to turn to Chuck's two reports, Tag Names reports, and Nick, who is WWW. I'm going to report on those quickly. Chuck has asked that we try to be sure that we've closed any questions out about these so that we can get them approved. I haven't seen any comments, so I'll just remind people of where we are. On the tag names report, the reserve name working group on the 25th of April, Chuck asked for comments prior to this meeting. We have the draft document that was mailed out to the list on Tuesday, the 1st of May. It has a change to the second recommendation. And so I'm just going to review that change, which is the only change that was made, and see if anyone has any comments. Otherwise, I'm going to ask that we consider this report approved, and if anyone has a concern about approving it, actually, I have a bit of a concern about approving it on the call today because we have so many members not here, but at least we can verify that the members here don't have any other questions about it. So recommendation 2 is the one that deals with top-level IVN, and it's described on page 4 of Chuck's report, and goes into some examples of that really basically ask that the applicant provide a good amount of information, including the ASCII comparable coding, the A level, the Unicode display form, the U label, the Unicode code point, and the English translation or transliteration when they actually make their application.
That's the only change that I'm aware of in this report.
Hello, Marilyn. This is Patrick. Can I get in the queue on this?
Yes, Patrick?
There's been quite a bit of email discussion between Chuck and Tina and myself and Rom and Carrie on this updated recommendation.
Okay.
And I think Chuck is probably going to be sending another version to the full list, taking out the suggestion for the Unicode code point.
Okay.
So I'd say that that's probably going to be coming soon, but you know he would have mentioned it if he had been on the call today.
Okay, then I'm going to take agreement for this report off the agenda. And we'll wait for Chuck's update.
Okay.
Thank you. On Nick, who is, and WWW, what about that one, Patrick? Do you have any further insights on that one?
No.
That report, I'll just remind everyone, the recommendations were approved by the full working group already. So this is just making sure that everyone has reviewed the report and agreed to the report. If there aren't any questions about this, and I'm not hearing any, then I think we can assume that this report is agreed by the members who are on the subgroup. Okay? I'm going to take the next 27 minutes and see where we are on the agenda. There's a document that describes the categories of names that are deemed to be out of scope that was sent to the full working group for review on the 1st of May. It covers third level reserved names, registry specific names at the second level, and other names reserved at the second level. And it's intended to be part of the final working group report. I don't know if others have had a chance to fully review it. I have not, just due to lack of time. Chuck is asking that we approve it, but I personally am going to have to at least read it before I approve it. I don't know if anyone else has the same problem I have of not having fully read it. That means everyone else has fully read it.
I think silence equals
consent. This is Patrick again, and I haven't had a chance to read it.
I see
this
that.
This is Tim. I haven't had either.
Okay.
This is Greg Newsy.
Okay. Thank you, guys. My feedback to Chuck is going to be, we haven't read it yet. We clearly have to read it, so this is my reminder. And the comments I'm going to report back to him is, we haven't read it yet, so we can't approve it. The status report on the Chuck and Liz action items, we've done one, which is to add the symbols back into the single two-character name subgroup. We're expecting a revised version of tag names per Patrick from Chuck, so we won't be able to approve that at this one. We've got to read this report we just referenced. Item 9, right, we can't approve until we read it. On the general task for Chuck and Liz, we were also seeing that we needed a definition of reserved names, and that was approved on the 25th of April. And then, Liz, you were reorganizing the working group report. Any other comments that you wanted to make in relation to the task that you and Chuck are working on?
Yes, Marilyn, I was.
Thank you. Can I turn to you?
Yep, I'm here.
Any other comments that you wanted to make?
Yes, just some timeliness comments. I've just actually been working on the new TLDs report in great detail today, and it's really critical that the work that the working group is doing is completed as soon as possible, because much of it is very, very important in terms of string criteria and reserve names recommendations and contractor conditions. So I just urge you to get it finished as quickly as possible. Let me know if you need additional help.
Actually, that's going to bring me to, Liz, thank you for mentioning this. I'm going to go to that very point and ask the group, does anyone on the group, are there any special needs that you have for your group? You need additional technical assistance? You need another review or insights from the IDN experts? Is there anything pending of what we've talked about so far that any of you would see as a special need other than a 40-hour-a-day, a 40-hour-day, which you're not going to get? So other than more time, which you're not going to get, any other special needs?
So this is Tim. I think I'm the only one here from the geographic, geopolitical, whatever, the names, right?
Actually, Alistair is here, and I'm going to come to
okay.
you guys. I was going to turn to you next, Tim. Exactly. Geographic and geopolitical names. Could you and Alistair share with us kind of where you think things are? And, because maybe you'd need additional bodies. Or, I don't know. But could the two of you bring us up to date on where you think this is?
This is Tim. Maybe Alistair will have more. I'm just wondering if I missed anything. I think last I knew, a set of questions had been agreed upon to submit to the GAC, and as far as I know, that was submitted, but I haven't heard that we've gotten any response, and no further work I'm aware of has been done. Alistair, do you see it differently? Or?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have anything to add to that, Tim. I certainly haven't heard whether there has been a response from the GAC, and I'm certainly, the report itself hasn't been updated, at least an updated version hasn't been shared with or discussed by the group.
And I'm sorry, it was a questionnaire, so it's on the archive, is that right?
I'm not sure if it's actually been sent to the wider working group. I can't recall.
I can help Alistair out if he needs it.
Please, Liz.
Hey there, Alistair. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. There's been a broader discussion going on about interactions with the GAC, and Donna Austin, who's now taken over the GAC liaison role, and I had a meeting late last week when she was here in Brussels about the best way to send materials to the GAC and then to get cogent responses from them. We are putting together a program of activities that would take place on the Saturday of the Puerto Rico meeting. I'm just checking the dates of that. Sorry, bear with me. Because one of the issues that we've got is the way in which the GAC works is not the same as us, and we do need additional time for them to be able to respond to us. So we're working out the best way of dealing with a more formalized way of working. As many questions as possible have been sent to the GAC and were included in the GNSO GAC call on the 16th of April that took place. But we're constrained in what we can send them because there's as yet not a mechanism for them to get back to us intersessionally. But I'll let you know how Donna and I go with developing a better way of doing it.
I still have a question about, was a list of questions sent to the GAC and when, and where is the list of the questions as far as the archive's concerned?
Marilyn, I don't know whether, sorry, that presumably was directed at me, if it is.
Yeah. No, I'm asking whoever sent it.
Yep. Chuck had
Mike,
one of the questions that were sent.
Chuck sent a list of questions to the GAC?
Yeah, we put them together. But I have not seen that. And frankly, what we need to do is formalize the correspondence much more tightly than rather than just an email being sent from a tribal working group. So there is protocol that we need to observe with sending the questions. And I prepared a draft for Chuck, and frankly, I haven't followed that up with him. I will do that tomorrow if that's the wish of the group.
But here's my, I'm in total support of the need for more formalization of
exchanges with any advisory group or supporting other supporting organizations. Lessons learned in other bodies that have been around longer than this one note that having effective documented exchanges are, and protocols are very important with, so I really applaud that. I think we need to, when you follow up with Chuck, I think we need to get a handle, and maybe he can follow up on this with Mike and the subgroup on where things are. Because it's sounding like this may be, that there are some special needs of this subgroup, and it sounds like that may even be, this group in particular is also going to be a further work if needed because of time. And the point that you raised about working methods that I need to interact with. So I can just note that and then ask for anyone else, are there other special needs of the subgroups that we should find? I don't hear any. I'm going to go over to the last page of the agenda and just remind people again, you've got really between now and Tuesday to get a final subgroup report. You've got the outline, you know all the questions, on the 10th, Chuck is going to use the outline that's presented here to walk through each of the subgroup's written reports. He's asking that you be prepared to indicate support, non-support. He calls it approval or disapproval, but I think it's support, non-support in the consistent with the approach we've been taking before. I'll leave it to him to follow up in with emails and trying to make sure we have as broad attendance as possible. And if you can't participate, then he's asking for written communication of your position on the list prior to the meeting.
Hey, Marilyn, this is Ray. I have a question for Liz.
Sure.
I wanted to ask if given whatever the subgroup is or whatever the final determination is by the working group as a whole for a particular category, what is the impact on Liz's work if the recommendation is need additional time?
Can I just ask you a clarifying question before Liz responds? There are several of the groups that say more work is needed, and for instance, the controversial names group is suggesting more work is needed, but they're defining what that is. Is your question more time?
Yes.
Okay. Do you mean so that you can do more work on a recommendation?
No, the impact on Liz's timeline with what she's doing.
Okay, got it. Liz?
Thanks, Ray. It's really critical. I'll share with the group what my time frame is, Marilyn, if you don't mind just indulgence of the chair for 1 second. I need to get to Bruce as the chair of the group and update a draft of the report tonight. It's now 9:45 where I am, so I'm continuing on that. He needed to return that draft to me over the weekend. Fortunately, it's a public holiday here in Brussels on the 8th of May. I need to distribute to the committee an updated new TLD's report on the 10th of May to prepare for a final committee conference call on the 15th of May, which is not confirmed yet. So you'll get a sense that the timing is extremely tight. The timing is extremely tight because we've set ourselves a deadline of posting the report on the 1st of June to enable 3 weeks of real time for board members and other members of the community to review what is the final draft of the final report. And of course there's much work that has to go on in the background with the internal operational legal nexus that I work with for our internal staffing issues. So asking for more time is not a good idea, unless you wish to buy me vast quantities of gin or something to keep me going to incorporate those changes or recommendations into the main report. What I suggest you do, and this is what Bruce and I have discussed last week, is that each of the working group reports will be posted to the GNSO website as standalone documents, and where it's possible for me to reference recommendations from each of the working groups. For example, I completed the integration of the IDN working group today. Where it's possible for me to incorporate any of the recommendations from the working groups that support the existing recommendations of the committee, then I'll do that. Beyond that, it becomes rather more difficult.
That's exactly what I was looking to hear, what you just said.
I'm sorry about that, but what it means is there's very little capacity for slippage. I'm sorry.
It's Marilyn. I have, if I might ask you to give us a bit more detail on the particular topic. Can you just clarify for all of us, is there another comment process required for PDP 05, the new GTLD, or have we concluded all the public comment processes?
Marilyn, what will happen, as far as I can tell with what Bruce would like to do with the work of the group, is that we will not do a public comment period until we have the board report. So, for example, we're now at stage 9 of the PDP process, which is the production of the final report of the group. When we have what is called the stage 10, which is a board report, then I would suspect that we would put a public comment period in place, which would be after the Puerto Rico meeting.
And that means that these recommendations that we're putting forward will have their first public comment
post Puerto Rico.
Okay. Thank you.
So,
is that what you wanted to hear?
Don't get public comment. This is Aubrey.
But
our recommendations don't get public comment until the board has seen them.
No. Sorry, Avery. What I meant, the board report is a formal piece of documentation which is presented to the board, so the board sees them after a public comment period.
Oh, okay.
So it's the final report. It goes after public comment. You summarize the public comment,
mm-hmm.
and then take that together and then give it to the...
Exactly. With the draft contract, with the base contract, with the base implementation plan, with the base, and with everything in a whole big, beautiful package.
So one more question for you, sorry. That would mean, and I'm being hypothetical here,
mm-hmm.
that would mean hypothetically that during Puerto Rico, the GNSO could decide to hear public comments during its public forum on these recommendations?
Yes, Marilyn, theoretically that could indeed take place, and you and I know that what Bruce and I do in terms of preparing the public forum materials is that we take all of that stuff into great account, and as many of you know, you will see me working furiously during the public comment forum when people are at the microphone. It's a very, very important piece of the puzzle, so that I can represent that into the report.
Does anyone have any other questions for Liz?
Yes, this is Ray. So if you're not able to reference a recommendation in your report, then it can't be part of that document. Is that correct?
Sorry, Ray, just say that again, would you mind?
Well, if additional time is needed by a particular subcategory group to complete their work, and that's going to put it past the deadlines that you're working on, then the recommendation can't be in that initial report.
There is one caveat to that, Ray. You're correct. Bruce and I discussed this the other day again. Part of what we're dealing with is a set of relatively stable recommendations. So all of you are familiar with the principles of the Mutualities Report and then the series of recommendations, and there are 20 or so of them. And then things that have gone into the implementation guidelines are things which don't have necessarily majority support. So, for example, and I don't wish to pick on the NCUC at all there, but they've made some suggestions about things like reduced fees and languages in other than English and the five languages of the United Nations. So, for example, if these group comes up with recommendations that don't get majority support from the committee, then that's where they will end up. But this is still a fairly fluid process, so I wouldn't get hung up on the process so much as actually spending the time on doing the work. And I sent a note to the group today to say how delighted I was that there was so much discussion going on, And I would be recommending that we take the time to do as much consultation as is necessary to get a quality result rather than die a death on a deadline.
That's great. Thanks, Liz.
Okay. I have a few minutes left for any comments. I'm going to go around the group and just make sure that we have heard from everybody who's on the call. So, Neil, do you have any comments that you want to add or other questions you want to ask?
No, nothing that I can think of.
Thank you. Ray?
No, thank you, Marilyn.
Alistair? Alistair?
He's on mute, I think.
Yeah. We'll come back to Alistair. Tim?
No, thank you, Marilyn.
Patrick?
No.
Aubrey?
Nope.
And Greg?
Nothing for me, thanks.
Thank you. Let me go back to Alistair.
No, Marilyn. Sorry about that. My line was on hold.
I'm just going to close with two comments. We all owe our chair, Chuck, a word of appreciation for his preparation of very detailed and easy-to-follow working outlines for our work, and to Patrick for his continued heavy lifting in support of the work of the group. And Liz, thank you for joining us. I know you've got a lot on your plate, but we really appreciate the fact that you joined us for this call in addition to everything else that you are doing. And
I just have to make a bigger plate. Thank you very much, Marilyn. It's very sweet of you to say so.
And let me say thanks to everyone for their hard work and urge that you do even more between now and next Tuesday so that we meet all of our deadlines.
Thanks, guys.
What they call the backhanded whip.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.